The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does God lead a shoe salesman in Iowa to seminary in Minnesota, where he learns about urban ministry in Chicago, all the while living 6 months in Lima, Peru, and adopting a son, at the same time preparing to plant a church? This is the story of Larry Willman, urban church planter and pastor for 4 decades in the same church. An example of faith, faithfulness, and the unswerving goodness of God. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that there is always hope in Jesus, no matter where you are, what you've done, where you've been, how tough things may seem to be at this very moment. There's always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ reaches out to you. The living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Will you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord? That's our prayer, that you would indeed do that. And the same Christ who has touched the heart and life of Larry Willman reaches out to you. And my friend, if you're already a Christ follower, well, we believe that you will be built up today, encouraged in a special way. Larry Willman is the senior pastor of Payne Avenue Evangelical Free Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, also known as Payne Free Church. Don't you love that? P-A-Y-N-E, that's Payne. Payne Free Church, where he has served for 37 years. He graduated from the University of Northwestern and earned his Master of Divinity degree from Bethel Seminary, both in St. Paul. He's married to Deanne. They have 4 adult children and 6 grandchildren. Larry, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks, Danny. It's good to be with you.
Larry, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Duluth, Minnesota. Very unique city, just on the edge of Lake Superior. And I didn't learn to appreciate it really until I left. I would bring friends back there, and it was just a unique place. It's a city built on a hill. It's by a huge body of water. It's almost like living by the ocean. A lot of outdoor activities available. I grew up 6 blocks from a tiny ski area. We'd strap our skis on and ski on the snowbanks over there and pay 25 cents for a day on the tow rope and get our mittens eaten up by the friction on the tow rope. And we'd skate, put our skates on, and we'd walk over to the local school and go ice skating in the winter. So anyway, Minnesota is not a bad place to live. Hawaii, yeah, it might be a little better, but you learn to enjoy the winter, and you can survive.
Larry, did I read this correctly? Do people surf on Lake Superior?
They didn't when I was a kid, but they do nowadays. Yeah, you better have a good wetsuit, but people do it.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I'm thankful for my parents. They were kind of unique. My dad was 62 when I was born. My mom was 35. Second marriage for both of them. They lost their spouses. But they had a godly influence on me, raised me, you know, going to church. But I guess I especially am mindful of a man that came to be our youth pastor. I was like a junior in high school, and he was just a few years older than I, came out of a Bible school to be our youth pastor. And, you know, he didn't do anything flashy, but he was my friend. And he strongly influenced me to even think about ministry, because I thought if I could do for one person what he did for me, life in ministry would be worth it. So that's
what was his name?
The name is Ken Moore.
Ken Moore.
And he's still around, still doing ministry. Yeah. Wonderful, faithful man of God, him and his wife, Sandy.
You talk about Ken Moore, his ministry to you as a youth pastor. Mention your parents. Could you share more about your journey of faith to Christ in Duluth in those earlier years?
Yeah, I grew up at First Covenant Church, and I was the kind of guy who I was sensitive to, you know, to my own sinfulness and my need for Jesus. I had Sunday school teachers that would, you know, faithfully taught me. Remember, Eddie Erickson taught fourth grade boys Sunday school class. We were very bad to him, but he was a very kind and just a man of God. So I learned early on that I needed a Savior. As the guilt that I felt and experienced, I knew I needed Jesus. I would receive Jesus, you know, fairly often whenever I had an opportunity. Didn't really understand that he received me and forgave me when I first put my faith in him. But my heart was wanting and knowing that I needed Jesus. And that was that church background, those Sunday school teachers, that really instilled that in me.
Mm-hmm. What difference would you say, Larry, what difference has your relationship with Jesus made in your life?
I would say I am loved, set free, and changed. I'm loved. I was always looking to be accepted and, you know, by other people. And I found really, though, in Jesus comes the ultimate love that accepts me where I am, and but doesn't leave me there, begins to, you know, set me free from the sin, the guilt, the shame, that freedom that is found in Jesus, not carrying those burdens around of guilt and shame. And then change, I see, is that purpose. I was always looking for, you know, why am I here, God? What did you create me for? I'm not like I would like to be. I'm not that personality person. I'm not, you know, I'm not very flashy or talented, but what am I here for? And I found, you know, Jesus, that he could use me as he created me. I didn't have to be like somebody else. And so that adventure is just so wonderful, though. And I just, you know, continue to learn how God can use me. I did an internship in Cloquet, Minnesota, you know, in a small church in that town. And I was so inexperienced, they couldn't call me a youth pastor. They had to call me a youth consultant. But those kids, those people loved me. And, you know, I just felt like I actually made an impact on them, though I knew very little and didn't see myself as having much to offer. God showed me that he could use me. That realization has kept me going that, yeah, I'm his and he can do with me as he wants.
That's refreshing, Larry, in a culture where it's so performance-oriented, where we look up to cultural heroes. There are celebrities in every facet of society. They could be sub within subcultures or sub-subcultures, but to hear someone who is at peace because God has made them who they are and God is working in and through them, and they're not seeking fame to whatever degree fame may be, or someone's dream, however real or elusive it might be, but to hear someone like you sharing as you are, and then to know that you've been faithful, that's the backstory or the backdrop or the underlying current that has kept you through decades and decades of ministry, where, you know, more and more we're beginning to see people come and go in ministry, rise and fall, as it were. And here you are, a steady man. You're listening to Larry Willman. I'm talking about Larry. When we come back, we'll hear more from him about his call to ministry, where he met his wife, Deanne, who has traveled the world or the path of ministry all this time with him. But you also want to know how God talked him into going to seminary. I'm talking about Larry Willman. So when we come back, you'll hear more from him. Larry is the pastor of Payne Evangelical, Payne Avenue, P-A-Y-N-E, Payne Avenue Evangelical Free Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, also known as Payne Free Church. Would you like that as a name for your church? Pain-Free Church. You can find out more about his ministry at painfreechurch.org. More from Larry Willman when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So he sold shoes for a year down in Iowa, waiting for his wife Deanne to graduate from college. Then God talked him into going to seminary at Bethel Seminary in St. Paul. He needed to do an internship ended up spending 2 years on the west side of Chicago. I'm going to let him share more of his story. I'm talking about Larry Willman. You can find out more at painfreechurch.org. Again, that's pain, P-A-Y-N-E, freechurch.org. This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Almashiro here. Thanks for joining us. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift. Just download it, podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Larry, where were you when you met your wife, Deanne?
I was at Northwestern College, was what it was called back in that day, and I was a sophomore, and Deanne was an incoming freshman, and I was doing my Christian duty by helping the freshman girls move into their dorms. My friend was kind of in charge of the social activities or doing something, so somehow I thought that was, yeah, hey, this is a good gig. And I met Deanne and her parents on that first day, and because she already knew my friend from Iowa, and he had been a roommate of mine, so we just became friends, and we talked a lot in the library, and I think we did more talking than studying in the library, but that friendship grew into, dating and pursuing that relationship with God, and wow, I was just super blessed. I am so thankful for how God led, and that he didn't answer some of my prayers before about other people. Deanne is the greatest wife to me, and just an inspiration that really keeps me going, and a model of prayer and devotion and serving others. Wow, she's amazing.
Larry, isn't it a good thing to... for a young man to fulfill his Christian duty, help a younger student move in?
Yes, it did pay off.
How did God talk you into going to seminary?
Well, when I finished college, I had a ministries major, Christian education minor, but I didn't really have a lot of experience, so nobody would hire me. So I kept selling shoes. I had done that during college, and I got a full-time job at a mall in Cedar Falls, Iowa, selling shoes. And I knew I needed experience, so I just volunteered at a local Baptist church. I worked with Awana, taught a junior high Sunday school class, and then the youth pastor kind of mentored me. And I had kind of a prejudice against education. I didn't think you needed a piece of paper hanging on your wall to say that God could use you. But during that time, God helped me to realize, okay, I have more to learn. So I said, okay, God, I'll go for some more education as long as I can do ministry at the same time. And God gave me that opportunity. The seminary I chose was kind of centrally located between our two families. And some pastors that were in Deanne's church down in Iowa, I really respected them, and that's where they had gone to school. So I said, okay, God, we'll give it a try. And then I got connected with the Evangelical Free Church by Deanne was teaching school in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, and we found a church up there in that neighborhood. And they just were a real church. I mean, they were just down-to-earth, kind of blue-collar folks, but wonderful ministry, wonderful pastors that I was able to hang out with and learn from. And, ministry was just kind of a progression. It's like, okay, God, I'm willing. I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing. So I went to that church. They asked me to teach adult Sunday school. It's like, I'd never done this before. So, okay, here we go, Lord. We'll give it a try. And that led to, thinking more about pastoral ministry rather than youth ministry. And, yeah, it's just kind of that progression.
Now, when did you and Deanne get married in all of this?
We got married in 1980. And
is this after she graduated?
Yes, actually on the day she graduated.
Okay.
From the University of Northern Iowa. She has a Spanish degree. And, we got married then, and then immediately moved that summer up to start seminary and her first year of teaching.
So... talk with us a little bit more about urban ministry. You mentioned the free church that you were at.
Mm-hmm.
and connected to where Deanne was teaching. And mm-hmm. how did God open up your heart or stir your heart toward urban church planting ministry?
Yeah. If this gets too long, just cut me off. But it started when I was growing up in Duluth. We would take a yearly trip to kind of the denominational school down in Chicago, which was actually in the city. And so I had this kind of fascination about the city of Chicago in particular. It was fascinating but fearful. And so that was kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And so I'm going through a couple years of seminary, and I've had some experience in our suburban church. I took two classes in particular, really challenged me. It's like, where do you want to go? Where do pastors want to go? And I wanted to be willing to go where nobody else wanted to go. I figured at least I ought to be willing to, even if I didn't want to. One would be missions, and the other was urban. And so I said, okay, God, I'm willing. And then an opportunity came up to do an internship and a year of seminary in Chicago. There was an urban ministries program called SCOOP back then, and a consortium of seminaries. And you lived in the neighborhood of the church. You worked 20 hours in that church. You lived in the neighborhood. And then you took 2 days of classes, and that ended up counting for a year of seminary. And then the program was connected to your supervising pastor. It was a great model of education, and unfortunately, they kind of went too liberal later on, and most of the conservative seminaries dropped out. But we said, okay, God, we're willing to go there, and we ended up on the west side of Chicago in a Mexican Puerto Rican neighborhood in an old German church. There was a few older people left in that neighborhood and in that church, and they had kind of missed the turning of the neighborhood, of being able to successfully, you know, reach out to that community. But they were wonderful people. They just loved on me and Deanne, and we were able to, you know, start a Sunday school again and do outreach projects, you know, show movie nights out on the street and coach softball and do Saturday clubs. And yeah, it was just a great experience. We just loved it. When we first drove through there, it just looked fearful in my mind. And 2 weeks later, it was like God flipped a switch, and I saw that neighborhood in a different light. I realized that this is where people live. I mean, they raise their families, they go to work, they mow this tiny patch of lawn on their boulevard, but that's life. And it was just different from me, and that's why it appeared fearful. And when I saw it from a different light, I realized, oh, this isn't so bad after all. And it's like God put in our hearts a love for the city and appreciation for it. And we stayed another year beyond that seminary program, and I finished up at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And that was just a life-changing experience. And led...
And Deanne spoke Spanish, then she was teaching Spanish, right?
Yes.
Already by then.
She did. She loved it. It was a little more challenging for me.
Right. And so did you pick up some of the language too, Larry?
A little bit. Yeah, because I promised Deanne that we'd try missions before or sometime in our lives to do it together. And so between seminary and starting the church in St. Paul, we spent some time in Peru to kind of fulfill that. So I took a few adult ed classes. I took a Spanish 3 class at a university there. And then when we were in Peru, we did some Spanish classes as well.
What were the challenges of church planting in the 80s?
Yeah. Well, the idea of church planting came about because we realized it was a tough go to turn an old church around to reach the neighborhood. And we thought, you know, would it be better if we started out with the mindset we want to keep our focus on the neighborhood? And so we came up, we talked to district superintendents, you know, in the Evangelical Free Church, and we talked about starting a church in the city somewhere. Not many people thought much of that. We got a lot of blank stares, except for people up here in Minnesota. They said, well, why don't you write your ideas down? We wrote our ideas down, and they said, well, let's give it a try. So somehow by being 2 years in Chicago, I was kind of an expert, quote unquote, in urban ministry now. And But, you know, you just, when you're young and you just, you have a little bit of a vision, and God opened a door for us to plant on the east side of St. Paul. We chose this side just kind of randomly because it just, we drove through it. It reminded us so much of Chicago. You know, like every four blocks is kind of a business strip, very connected neighborhoods, public transportation. And so, yeah, we got things started while we were in Chicago, and they accepted our plans. And then we ended up going to Peru for 6 months. And yeah, it was, that was a life-changing experience too, where we had heard of other people who had adopted. And then we got down there, and then we asked about adoption, and they said how much it cost, and we had that much in savings. We said, well, let's investigate at least. And so we did, and 2 weeks later, we had a little baby boy, six-month-old baby in our arms. And yeah, instant parenthood, and then the more grueling labor of trying to get a visa for him to come back.
Talking to a man of faith, a man, Larry, and his wife, Deanne, people who have stepped out in faith to follow God's leading and put their savings in and adopt a child in Peru and plant churches plant a church in an urban setting. I just marvel, Larry, at the transformation of the heart and life and the dynamism of continuing to seek and to follow and be faithful to the will of God. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the journey. I think specifically even about the name of the church too, how that came about. And there's another marvel, especially in a day when some people move from church to church for varying reasons. None of this is in judgment in any way. It's all personal. But for someone to stay, for he and his wife to stay and pastor a church in the same place, in the same neighborhood, in the same area, it just makes me wonder, Larry Willman, how well and integrated you have become. A fixture, as it were, a lighthouse, as it were, in your area. Painfreechurch.org. You can find out more about Larry Willman and his ministry there. We'll talk with him more heart to heart with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling.
You're listening
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So working in an older established congregation was a bit of a challenge for Larry and his wife Deanne. They began to think about urban church planting as a possibility for the future, and God led them. And now, four decades later, they are pastoring Payne Avenue Evangelical Free Church, also known as Payne Free Church. You can find out more at paynefreechurch.org, P-A-Y-N-E, freechurch.org. Larry, did you know you had a catchy title for your church? Your church name from the start?
Yeah, we didn't use it right away, though. It maybe seemed a little strange, but eventually we thought, when it came to the website time, we thought, well, that is kind of catchy. At least somebody will remember our name, because Payne Avenue Evangelical Free Church is kind of a long title. There was an entity in our neighborhood before that who took the name Payne, and it was called the Pain Reliever. Unfortunately, it was kind of an infamous strip joint and rock venue in our community, which, you know, praise to God, churches, Christians prayed a long time for that to be removed, and it was. And many of the bars, the old-time bars, biker bars, and other problem places that also have closed. So it's... Anyway, we figured if they could do it for bad, we could do it for good. And now it's so interesting. There's a pastor friend of mine up the way. They just changed their name to the Pain Reliever Church. So within about a block and a half, we have Pain Free and Pain Reliever churches.
The churches are performing their Christian duties, Larry Willman. So what lessons have the Lord taught you and Deanne, looking back on four decades of ministry?
Yeah. I guess one thing that I continue to learn is that balance between two things. One is faithfulness on the one hand, and being willing to learn. So faithfulness, trying not to use that as an excuse, though, to say, well, I'm faithful, but not successful. I want to be learning. If God wants us to do something different, I want to be open to that. But I want to be faithful and not be tied into what's the world's idea of success. I mean, in 2021, my theme for the year was what is success in God's eyes? And really, that was a sermon series for me. I basically went through all of the characters in Hebrews 11. To try to look at it. These are the people that God sees as successful. How do I match up with that? And, you know, and I have to admit, wasn't my idea of success, you know, to still have a church that's not really big. You know, and that's for pastors, that's hard, because people always ask you, you know, well, how many people do you have coming? And, you know, you'd love to be able to tell you, well, I'm the founding pastor, and we went from 0 to 1,000. Well, we went from 0 to 100 to, you know, 25 or 30 currently. So my struggle, my challenge, what I'm trying to learn is, what is success in God's eyes? How do I be faithful and yet teachable and correctable and be open to what God wants to grow his church and to minister to individuals? You know, just a lot of, you know, people with challenges, but, you know, God brought us an interesting mix of people socioeconomically and maturity-wise. Basically, the only people who wanted to come and join the church as a church planting team were those who had a missions mind. They were either headed towards missions or they were open towards overseas missions. It was interesting. That kind of mindset is almost required to minister in the city, but, you know, God has brought us just wonderful people from the neighborhood, and but challenges, you know, just progress seems to be so slow. I mean, God is so patient with all of us, right? But, you know, when it takes years for somebody to quit smoking, even when they have emphysema and other presenting problems because of that, it's hard, you know, or drug addiction and mental health stuff. You have to walk through with people. I mean, you try to be there for the people and trust the results to God. You know, there's many different kinds of soil, and we pray for workers for the harvest field. We also pray for good soil that could reproduce 30, 60, and 100 times. And in a way, we're still waiting for that. But keep on planting seed and cultivating the soil and watering the plants.
Who were some of the most inspirational examples as you walked your congregation, your church, through Hebrews on success? Any person or persons that stood out, or certain characters or characteristics that encouraged you particularly?
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, I was trying to finish up my Hebrews 11, and it kind of ends up with that a very quick list. You know, says I don't have time to go into all these, you know, people, and it ends up with the prophets, Samuel, David, and the prophets. And I was reading through the book of Jeremiah slowly and just, you know, praying through it. And I ended up on chapter 45, and it was Baruch. And Baruch was, you know, experienced a lot of persecution. He was with Jeremiah, and nobody liked what they said. So Baruch wrote all these things down, you know, dictated God's words from Jeremiah, and the king is listening to these as they read it, and he cuts it off and throws it in the fire, and he cuts off more of Baruch's hard work, and he throws it into the fire. And so there was a lot of opposition, and God sent a special message to Baruch through Jeremiah and said, do you seek, you know, great things for yourself? He said, don't seek them. And he basically promised, he said, that this is a time of upheaval, this is tough on everybody. And he said at the end, but I'll give you your life as a reward. And I had to ask myself, would that be enough for me? If God was not promising me success or even a church that survived, but said, this is it, you know, you serve me and I will give you your life. Would that be enough for me? So that ministered to me and challenged me. But it's like, yeah, wow. It puts it in perspective. God, am I willing to do it? Are you enough? Are you enough? Regardless of anything on the outside appearance, are you enough for me to continue to serve you? And I want to say yes.
And you are saying yes. And you have said yes after all these decades. I want to circle back to Deanne. When you talk of Deanne, your eyes light up, it's like your heart speeds up when you talk about her. In what ways have your relationship grown over the decades of ministry at Pain Free Church?
Yeah, I don't think either one of us had a clue of what we were getting ourselves into, but it was such a blessing to have that shared vision for doing something different, something new, having a burden for where other people didn't want to go necessarily. And of course, we weren't alone in that. But God has been so good, because it's really neat to be able to walk together. You know, in the Old Testament, talks about, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And I mean, just having Deanne there, I mean, to bounce things off of, you know, I mean, with you can call me the senior pastor. That's easy because I'm the only pastor. You can call me lead pastor or whoever. But, you know, Deanne is like that staff person where we share vision, we pray together. And just her model of prayerfulness has really challenged me, has really moved me to grow deeper in prayer. And trying to pray together, making prayer a normal part of things, where we just, in the middle of a conversation, we'll just break into prayer. And you know, whether in the morning, at night, during the day. And she was, you know, dedicated to homeschooling our kids. Not that that's the only option, but I mean, she's a public school teacher. So, but, you know, she dedicated 20 years to that and even still teaches some homeschool classes of Spanish and algebra at different co-ops. But just a woman of God and just caring for people. I mean, she's she's more dedicated to people than I am. I think just, you know, thinking of them, calling them, willing to do stuff for them. So she's been a partner, but she's been an inspiration and kind of somebody who always got the bat my back. Encouraging. Yeah, takes a lot of encouragement.
Fast forward to COVID. How have your COVID experiences brought you closer to the Lord?
You know, it was just before COVID. We were, for a number of different reasons, I think we lost probably 12 to 14 like leadership adults in our church, and that's a pretty high percentage. And it wasn't like a church split. It was just lots of different reasons that people ended up going with us to be in a church plant, or, you know, just being tired from serving for 35 years and experiencing different crises in life. But that was at a, that was like, okay, God, what are we, what's going on? What are you trying to say to us? We called in some of our district people and said, hey, you know, we should consult. We want to find out what's going on and how can you help us? How can you coach us through this time? And right after that, after we started that process that we call revitalization, then COVID hit. So it was really, it was almost like a respite. It was like, okay, we got to stop doing everything that we felt like we needed to do. Because sometimes as a small church, you feel like, well, to be a real church, you have to have this, 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 and this. And COVID gave us a reason to just, you know, trim back to the basics and have a little bit of rest and time to focus on, God, what do you want us to do now at this stage in ministry? So really, it was like it was a blessing to us. And, you know, being a small church, we can pivot pretty quickly. So, you know, we learned Zoom in a few days. And as soon as we could, we got on Zoom and had some interaction. We broke people up at the end of the service into the breakout rooms so that people could pray together. And that's something that we've even, when we got back to in-person services, we kept that. We kept that 10 minutes at the end after the service. We say, hey, can you hang around, meet in a couple, you know, group of two or three and pray for each other. And our people do that and they continue to do that. And we still have a few people on Zoom. So that adds, you know, that technological challenge is just an added layer. But I think we've learned to cope with that pretty well and include some other people that wouldn't be able to be with us. That's a blessing too. So, and then the revitalization process kind of helped clarify our vision for the future. And so coming out of it, we were able to be a little more focused and maybe not start things up just because it's the church thing to do, but try to say, what do you want us to do, God?
It does sound,
it's been a blessing.
It does sound, when you mention revitalization, when you mention focus and not feeling the need to jump and scratch at and get into every which thing, as it were, a freshness, a refreshing and a renewal time. You're listening to Pastor Larry Willman of Payne Avenue Evangelical Free Church, or Payne Free Church. You can find out more about their ministry, painfreechurch.org. I love the story of Baruch. As we spoke about that just about a week ago, Larry, mm-hmm. there as we were in Chicago. Seek the King James. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. And dear brother, you and Deanne and your faithfulness in ministry speaks volumes. When we come back from our break, in our final segment, I do want to ask, and this may be a bit personal, But of course, as we've talked before, be as open as you want to be, as discreet as you need to be. But how has the Lord helped you through, personally, through difficult times? Perhaps someone today is facing a challenge unlike they have ever faced before. Dear friend, maybe it's you in this moment. Your heart is broken. The Lord has brought hope. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Right, so not many people in Larry and Deanne Wilman's denomination were thinking along the lines of urban church planting ministry, but some people in St. Paul, Minnesota, encouraged them to write down some of their ideas, and they gave it a shot. There was support. They grew. They planted the church in an urban setting, and now 37 years later, the church is still going, still touching lives. But there may be a point where someone who is a pastor, someone who is trying to live the Christian life, might feel as though you might feel tired. You might feel life has hit you so hard. Perhaps even today you might feel like, there might be a brokenhearted moment, something that you've not experienced before. Maybe you feel like giving up. Well, you're not alone. There is always hope. And I believe the Lord has brought Larry Woman and onto our show for such a time as this. You can find out more about their ministry at painfreechurch.org. But Larry, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Yes. God is faithful, even through the worst. So back in when our kids were kind of teens, late teens range, we had a child that went through, you know, struggled with some mental health issues and just some, you know, very weird behavior we didn't understand. And, you know, they didn't understand. And I remember one particular moment, one particular Sunday, where it was, you know, not just a, wasn't just a private challenge like we were facing at home, but it became more public, you know, in the church. And I remember sitting, the service was ending. I was sitting out in the hallway by the front door, and I was just, you know, had my head in my hands, and I was in tears. Like, you know, your worst embarrassing moment. And one of our elders came and put his hand on my shoulder and said, it's going to be okay. And that just, you know, that just helped keep me going. It gave me hope. So, you know, even when you face the worst, God is still there, you know, and we, there was many a night just, you know, kneeling by the side of our bed, just crying out to God. It's like, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? How do we handle this? And then in retrospect, you can just see that God saw us through that. This particular child now, you know, really loves God, not without struggles, but this child, an adult now, just loves God's word, is a real prayer warrior, has an evangelism heart. God saw them through that time and saw us through that time. And you think, oh, Lord, why all this? Why this pain? Why this heartache? Why this uncertainty? Why this embarrassment? And yet God has used that so many times, you know, in our community, when people deal with mental health issues, it's like, okay, yeah, we understand. We understand. 2 Corinthians 1 has become one of my key go-to chapters, where it says, you know, that the comfort that we receive from God in our pain, in our trials, is the comfort that we can share with others. He gives it to us, we give it to others. There is a unique ministry training, ministry qualification that happens when you go through something really hard. And you are an equipped servant of God because of what he's seen you through. Not because you have an education or a degree, but you have a deeper understanding. I mean, we have people in our church who have had disabilities, and wow, I tap them to pray for people who need a compassionate heart to understand them. That's just the way God works. So if you're going through something difficult, hang on to God. It won't be wasted. He will be with you in it. He promises to never leave you. And in the future, if you can see that far, God will use what he's bringing you through now to help others. And that will be a blessing for others, a blessing for the kingdom of God.
Larry, when you had your head in your hands, weeping, an elder came and put his hand on your shoulder. Today, someone is head in hands, weeping, practically, actually, or figuratively. Something has happened that they cannot wrap their mind around. And there is a feeling of helplessness. They are so broken. They don't know where to turn. But the Lord has brought you to speak to them, to share your story, to encourage them. Will you pray for them as Pastor Larry Willman putting your hand on their shoulder? Would you intercede on their behalf right now?
Sure.
Please.
Father, in Jesus' name, we come. I just want to figuratively put my hand on somebody's shoulder, my brother, my sister. They're not feeling your presence. Lord, you promised that presence, so you are there with them. You will never leave them or forsake them. I pray that they would say that over to themselves, but Lord, that your presence would be made real to them, that they would feel your arms around them, the arms of the loving Father who cares, who counts their tears. Oh, Lord, be near to them. Show them that there is hope. Do not let them despair. Show them the way, Lord. You are all wisdom. You say that when we lack wisdom, we can ask you, Lord, give wisdom. Just show them the next step, what they need to do. And heal the wounds of their heart. Give them faith to believe that something good is going to come, that you are going to save them, you're going to rescue them from this time, and things are going to get better. Oh, Lord, give them hope. And, Lord, even when in impossible situations, Father, we have our hope is in you. Our hope is in the kingdom of God. Our hope is in heaven and in your love. So would you pour that out on these dear listeners today, whoever's going through this, we pray in the wonderful and compassionate name and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Larry, thank you so much for your ministry, for your pastor's heart, for your openness to share the love of God right out of your life. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks, Danny.
And I'd say, may the Lord bless you and Deanne with your grandchildren and the joy and the silliness that you can express with them, as well as some good times riding your bikes and camping in your Prius. Larry Woolman, thank you again. Encouraging words from Larry Woolman, Pastor Larry Woolman at painfreechurch.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. Would you do that? If you haven't done so, look, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or your support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate, and I thank you in advance. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Larry Woolman, painfreechurch.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.